I read a stat this week that 69% of pastors have considered quitting in the last year. That just about breaks my heart, and I think a big part of the reason is that a lot of pastors aren't focusing enough on self-care. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about prioritizing pastoral self-care and giving our pastor audience some tips that we've picked up along the way of how you can better be taking care of yourself and avoid burnout. That's really what it comes down to. You should be taking care of yourself, you know, whether it's about whether you're on the brink of burnout or not. And I find that in general, people very rarely expect to be burned out with things. But it's just so important that you take the time to really think about some of this kind of stuff and make some of those course corrections to avoid getting to that place there. So it should be a good conversation today, Ian.
I think it's really good. And it's one that's actually near and dear to my heart because I talk to so many pastors and being, I guess, not a part of their local congregation and just consulting with them, they open up to me often, and I love that I have their trust. And many more than I guess people would probably realize are definitely burned out and just not taking care of themselves in one way or another. And so we want pastors healthy. You're going to be more effective in leading people to the Lord and leading your local churches if you are taking care of yourself. And so this ought to be good. And to start off with, I guess the more depressing part, stats can often be depressing, right? And so when it comes to these types of topics, so and I'm gonna only read, so we've seen Barna, who of course everyone has known for years as a great resource for statistics, and we appreciate the Barna group have for years, we're looking at pastors' risks of burnout in several categories. And for time's sake, and just to not get off into the weeds, I'm going to go with the ones that are high at risk. One thing that is interesting, in 2015, pastors, only 11% of pastors were at high risk of burnout. Now, 2022, I guess, when this was done, 40% is that number. So that is a big jump. And of course, it is a big jump, and we had the pandemic in there. That's probably one factor, but that is still just a big jump, you know, about 30% in just a handful of years there. And then for men, 30% are at high risk of burnout. And this was interesting for female pastors, 51% were at high risk of burnout. Pastors under 45, 50% of them at high risk, which is also interesting to me because pastors of 45 plus were only 36% of them were at high risk of
burnout. Why do you think that is?
Maybe it's because it shouldn't be surprising to me now that I take a step back and I think of it, because I guess if you're under 45, you know, younger pastors still developing and they're still probably getting settled in life. They have kids probably, right, that are younger. Yeah. They're financially are still kind of on a
I think
build
it's financial. Up, that's my guess. More financial than anything else.
I think so.
Like people that are under 45, you know, I know you're, you are 45.
I am 45. Yes.
Yeah. So you're like not even in this study.
And you're 44. Just so everyone's
I'm squarely
clear,
in that under 45 category here.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
I just know that like I have kids that are middle school to high school and college aged. Yeah. And I remember what the last 20 years have been, or 19 years have been in my family, that I've been pastoring for more than that, I guess. But there've been lots of financial realities that are really challenging. And I think that as you are older than 45, not to say that it becomes easier or anything, because it's not, it's still 36% versus it's a big difference, but it's not like that it's easy at that point. I think that there's just different financial realities for young people. And I see people younger than me, and my heart hurts for pastors that are trying to solve those kinds of situations. So, I just thought that didn't surprise me, that part there.
Yeah. At first glance, it didn't. Then when I think about it, no, it doesn't. So, but, and lastly, with these stats, 69% of pastors now have considered quitting, and only 21% have not. So that's kind of, telling statistics. So that's a high number. So that's
hang on. I'm looking at that stat again. It says that they're at high risk of having high considered risk. Whatever that. So
high
that they're
risk. Yes. If you, everything we've mentioned
only
in there was 6%
basically haven't considered quitting at all. Like 25% said like maybe, and then like 69%. Well, it's just it's crazy to me. So to see those kinds of numbers there, but that one surprised me to see that many. And to be honest, like I think everybody kind of considers it in ministry. If you're watching this, hey, let us know in the comments if you're a pastor, if you're open to being this honest online.
Yeah.
I think if we're being honest, all of us have kind of considered it. And you have those nights where you're, you know, someone from your church that you really loved just left and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, wouldn't it just be easier to go sell cars or be a teacher or whatever it is that I'm feeling like I could be doing. For me, the temptation, my family business was always pool cleaning services and doing a pool maintenance business. And when I was a young pastor with young kids and the financial burdens and all that stuff, I would think, why am I not just cleaning pools? I'm just going to go clean pools.
They look nice. I'll be in nice backyards and I won't
be
dealing
with all this.
I get a
tan. It's great. I'm done at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right.
It's tempting all the time. So I've been in those exact places there before. I imagine most of our audience has too. Statistically, we all have.
Yeah.
I think it's the conviction that's what I'm called to do. It should be what keeps you in the ministry there. So
absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for sharing that, Ian. I'll kind of kick us off. We have four kind of, I guess, things to consider kind of like a wellness checkup for pastors that we wanted to share with you. The first one is just really making sure that you have healthy boundaries set up in your life.
Yeah.
I know like the first and foremost, like the key boundary for me and my family was having a Sabbath, making sure that we have a Sabbath that's set aside. You know, when I was in as a lead pastor, I know what I did was I took every Sunday afternoon through Monday afternoon, that was my Sabbath time. We like aggressively Sabbathed. So we were pastoring then in Wisconsin, and part of our Sabbath routine most Sabbath nights was going to Culver's as a family, which if you're from Wisconsin, you know what I'm talking about. If you're from other places, you might not. But Culver's is a burger joint.
We have them in
there.
Austin, Texas too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over the place, but they're just different. They're based out of Wisconsin, and they're really good when you were there. So we would go hit Culver's as a family and do that time there. My wife would jokingly see I would move my recliner into Sabbath position, and it would be like, because it was Sunday afternoon, so I would have
like
3 football games recorded or something that I didn't sit like for 9 hours and watch football, but I would usually fly through a couple of them, see highlights and some of those kinds of things, and just chill out. We spent time with the kids. We played a game. A lot of times on Monday mornings, my wife and I would go to movies on Monday mornings.
Nice. Yeah.
It was a great time. And for whatever reason, did you know that like a lot of theaters are open at like, we would go to see like 8:30 showings of movies. So we would get the kids off to school and then we would go to an 8:30 showing of a movie or something like that. So we'd go on Monday mornings, maybe as late as 10. And then we'd eat some lunch together, my wife and I, and then kind of start the day from that point on. And that was getting that rhythm dialed in for us was so healthy. And I really saw other areas of our lives be blessed as we did that. So there's other places of boundaries that I think are really important for pastors. You need to have hard lines on, hey, you know, on family nights, I don't work on these nights. I'm not available. You have to have these kinds of things set up or else ministry will eat you and you'll be one of those statistics of people that were pastors and are no longer. Healthy boundaries, really important.
Very good. And this next one's a big one too, is pastors need to delegate responsibilities. And this is a big one, I feel like, because pastors have the tendency, and they mean well often, that they could just be everywhere and be with everyone and meet every need and try to, you know, just be there for the entire flock and every member. And it's just not possible it may be possible, but you will be burned out if you do that. And I talk to so many pastors, consult with them that are the one man gang, as I like to call it, we get it. If you're at a smaller church, you may not have other pastors on, you may be the only one on staff, but you do need to find someone that could be that next man up and leader within your church, someone that you're discipling. But if you do have other pastors and you have other ministry leaders at your church, assigning their roles, what they can take on. I mean, how many times have we just heard, you know, it's every pastor being at every funeral of everyone. We know funerals happen. We know hospital visits happen. We know all these things happen. And there are times that emergencies happen and you should be there as a pastor, but there are other pastors too, and you have to be able to delegate things to other pastors, other leaders. You can't take it all on your own. So
That's good. I think that like everything needs to be delegated unless you, and this is something that I became, this is one of my, if I'm talking about what I was good at in ministry, this is something that I became pretty good at because I was running ReachRite we were doing what we were doing here. And, you know, we've been so blessed here at ReachRite and we have, you know, 12 employees here now at ReachRite doing that. And I was, and I am now an executive pastor at a church. And I realized pretty quick in my ministry life, if I was going to run a business and do the church, I had to really hone in on what did I have to do as the pastor. And I turned that into only doing leadership development. So pouring into the staff and leaders of our church and preaching and the overall vision of our church. But a lot of the other stuff that pastors normally get involved with, day-to-day operational stuff, I just took a step back from that, and that equipped me and let me be able to have the time to do everything else. And so if we had a secret sauce in my ministry, churches I've been at in the past, that was it. Like being able to really get this delegation part. I just finished a book called Buy Back Your Time. And it's more of a business book. It's not a ministry recommendation.
Sounds
necessarily
relevant to this though.
Yeah. But it's a good, it's, you know, in the business world, you can't ask volunteers to take on things like we can in the church. You have to pay for it. But the principle is still the same. It's just that there's always going to be that tension of things that you feel like you can do and you can do it better than any else and nobody can do it like me. One of the things I really gleaned from it was that this guy had something called the 80% rule, where you need to be willing to understand that someone else is going to be able to do it 80% as good as you can. Don't expect them to do it better than you. Expect them to do it 80% as well as you can do it, and then be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, let the rest go. It's okay. And hopefully they'll grow over time and get even better at these kinds of things. But yeah, I cannot express this one enough. Really nailing your delegation and coming up with plans and really asking yourself that question, what are things that only I should be doing? And like, what should I be delegating? I want to clarify too, when I said only I should be preaching, that's not, I wasn't the only preacher, but I still felt like I had to be the primary communicator at my church, the main preacher on Sunday. So I did about four out of five sermons. So I probably took 10 weeks off a month or so from preaching, but everything else I could delegate, I did. So good stuff. Next one is time management and prioritization. This is something else I've been working on because this is not one of my natural strengths, is the time management side of things. I have people in my life. We're actually in the middle of hiring right now an executive assistant here to work at ReachRite. There's an ad on our website, if you're seeing this, where you can apply. If you know someone who might be interested, just go down to the bottom of the site and look at jobs. You'll see that there. But I've been wrestling with this because this is not my strength, is the time management side of things. When it comes to my email management, my calendar, all of these kinds of things, I don't miss emails, but if you look at my inbox, I'm not one of those people that has inbox zero, where there's like not a single email in there that I touch. And you know, I have this list and I try to archive it as best that I can. And my calendar, it's like, I kind of do most of it from memory, but I do have some events on there. I'm just not great at it. So I'm looking for someone, you know, right now we're trying to hire someone to help me and another key staff member here at ReachRite manage some of these kinds of things. And I think for churches, having someone and really helping you with that, if you're not good at it, is really important. But pastor, you have to nail some of this time management type thing.
Yeah.
You have to be living on a calendar. You need to delegate spots on your calendar.
Yeah.
If you know, like your Sabbath needs to be the first thing that's on there. And then once it's on there, you know that it takes you, I don't know, 8 hours of sermon prep every week. You need to put in those 2 4-hour blocks or 4 2-hour blocks or 1 8-hour shift or whatever it is. You need to get that on there. And then you need to like get other things, other your weekly staff meeting needs to be on your calendar. And then any other thing, you need to be living on that, because I've found that as your church continues to grow, you just won't be able to stay on top of all of the requirements that you have on that there. So if it's not your skill set, do what I'm doing, consider having someone come alongside you and help you in that role. I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah. A lot of pastors don't have the gift of administration, right? They're people, visionaries, all of that, leaders, and having that person there to keep you disciplined with that. A lot of times I've seen in successful churches and churches, just pastors that do manage their time, they have that secretary, that admin that keeps them dialed in, or someone like that. Maybe it's their wife as well. And I think it just keeps you sane. And especially as a church starts growing but I will say, if you don't time manage and you're just doing everything that comes your way, you probably won't grow like you're wanting to as a church. It's just going to be no good at any one thing. So last one here is have regular self-reflection and adjustment to yourself. And I think that this kind of ties in with the first one, that, you know, having a Sabbath rest that we talked about, or just having that time that you set aside. And I think it ties into all of them. You know, even when you're managing time well, and you better have time to self-reflect, you better have time to step back. And I think this is when a lot of pastors, when they don't make time for this, and they go on lengthy sabbaticals as the only time that they can self-reflect and assess what they're doing. And that's great. That is what part of what a Sabbath is for. I'm sorry, a sabbatical is for, and a Sabbath, but you need to be doing that regularly throughout a week. Just taking it, have that time to take a step back and say, hey, how am I doing? Am I doing too much? Am I not time managing? Am I taking on tasks I should delegate? And just make those adjustments, you know, because I think it's easy to become the hamster in the wheel as a pastor and not make those adjustments. And then you're just burning yourself out, and you're putting yourself in that those ugly statistical categories we talked about at the beginning. So,
yeah, I think that's good. I think that just regularly looking at it, just kind of doing personal checkups on how am I doing right now?
Yeah.
Do I feel exhausted? Am I wondering, should I quit? Am I thinking about cleaning pools again, or, you know, whatever that would be? That's a sign that maybe something is out of alignment of where it should be and where God would have you be. And so when that's the case, the solution to those kinds of things is the other things we talked about. You know, am I Sabbathing the way that I need to? Am I delegating everything that I can? Is there something that I'm doing that I don't need to be doing, and I don't really like doing it? And maybe I'm not even really great at it.
Can I give
something else away? So just asking yourself and doing this evaluation regularly, you know, if not weekly during your Sabbath time, at least monthly, and taking a look back at your calendar, what was good, what was bad about this month, and kind of doing some of that reflection, I think is really a valuable thing to do. So
it's good.
Good stuff. Ian, anything else to add as we wrap up here?
No, take care of yourself, pastor out there listening, ministry leader. You know, you deserve it. You're doing the work of the ministry and you're serving people, and don't forget about yourself. I know we are called to live selfless lives, but we're also called by God to take care of ourselves and our bodies and everything else. And prioritize yourself is what I would say.
I don't know that I wonder sometimes about Jesus' teaching is that we put others before ourselves, considering that. So I don't know that I can say prioritize yourself is what I would recommend pastors to do. But I do think it's important that you...
wrong.
I know what you meant. I know that wasn't your heart. Yeah. You weren't counseling people the way of Satan.
To be selfish. You were,
That's it. You're. I do think it's important to make sure that you are doing what God calls you to do to take care of yourself. The same way you wouldn't skip bathing for weeks at a time. Don't skip your emotional and spiritual needs because you're ministering to other people in that same way.
Yeah.
So absolutely put others, think more highly of others than yourself. Do what we're called to do in those areas. But at the same time, you do need to make sure you take the time and get these principles and these systems in place so that you can take care of yourself and you don't become one of the statistics that we're talking about with things there. So hopefully this has been helpful to you. If this is something that, or maybe there's an idea or something that you do that you felt has really helped you overcome a season of burnout or kind of keep you from getting into one, we'd love to hear about that in the comments. Drop us a line on that there. Also, if you have other ideas or things you want us to talk about on the Reach Right podcast, most of these topics are fueled by listener comments. So drop us a line on that, hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.